If you want to save money on your trading card purchases, we have a promo link over at 50cards.shop. Enter the promo code at night to get 5% off your order.
All right, welcome everybody to Nexus at Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rootbeer.
And we're two-thirds of us are a little off, which leads us to the main question of the day, which is Vanguard's off-season.
Yeah.
I'm not very panache about it this time, but sorry, guys. My whole right side hurts because my nerves are like, hey, the muscle is pressing against us. Fuck you. Yeah, it's my entire life.
And Matt's been awake since 5 a.m.
Yep. Gotta love the... I asked my dad for advice, and he's like, have you tried weed? I'm like, yes, Dad, I have. And he's like, do more of that. I'm like, thanks. He's a doctor. He's a retired doctor. Anyway, so going off that tweet thread we have, it appears that Lyrical will be leaving the main set.
I mean, I think it will.
Again.
But I don't think permanently, because the thing is, like, for now, this is being announced with DBZ3, which looks like it's going to be another Cray-Cross set. So we already know, like, they're giving new forms to Arkite and Shoujo Doji, and they're going to introduce a bunch more archetypes, because the Cray-Cross set seems to be the dumping ground for, like, every single piece of side content that Vanguard makes now.
If it means more support for the hands, I'll allow it.
Good luck with that. They're introducing two new manga archetypes.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're screwed.
Get on.
Oh, the poor hands.
But yeah, you know, so when they announced DZ3, Lyrical was not going to be part of it. Instead, we're just getting another Lyrical set next to it. And, you know, that's kind of lame because, you know, nobody really likes Fish Season all that much. For, like, the non-Lyrical players, it's just a dead month. And yeah. I think, like, it takes up a lot of... it contributes to some of the problems Lyrical has, which does, to an extent, go back all the way to original Bermuda Triangle. But, like, really feeling it now, where, like, Lyrical is more like five nations in one instead of just like the sixth nation. Mm-hmm. Like frequently they don't treat it like it's part of the main game, particularly during anime season, and they keep releasing like a shitzillion ride lines for and Lyrical.
Like going back to Bermuda Triangle, it's always been like at the beginning or end of an era. In either case, it's always super ahead of its time. And most of the time, the stuff that they give them has to be good enough to last for a year. So they'll give them, like, the most broken shit. A little less so now.
I mean, I feel like that's overstating it a little bit, but, like...
Can you taste the salt in the statement?
Like... But, yeah, you know, Lyrical is just, like, overstuffed. It has too many cards, right? And I feel like... They kind of don't know what to do with it because it doesn't really have any kind of unifying theme. And
they
then
got the whale.
Later. God, I'm losing my train of thought already.
I just pissed him off more. I'm sorry.
No. But yeah, I want to talk about like the kinds of product that get made during the time the anime isn't airing, because I don't think it's great right now. So like I think Lyrical and Cray-Cross kind of have the same problem where like because they're not part of the anime, like Bushiroad kind of treats them like they're secondary. Mm-hmm. So they're frequently like further behind than the anime sets, where you know anything being featured in the anime will have a pretty consistent wave of support, right? Like we had youth. So, like, for example, in set 6, we got, like, Youth Burke, and then set 7, we got Tempest, which made the deck relevant for a couple sets, at least.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Leonorn got, like, Resonance Dragon, which you know, at the time wasn't good enough to make the deck playable, but like, or make the deck meta, but like, you know, it was support.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, at that same time, if you were playing like Eva, for example, it was a top tier meta deck if you could afford the $30 promo that was $100 at release. You know. Like, Tamahiro, when Broken Toys came out, wasn't even a good deck, and that promo was $50 for the longest time just because no one had any copies of it.
Right. And it was like, what, for going to locals, you'd get, it was like a 1 in 6 chance or some,
no,
some wacky stuff like that?
For the Eva promo, yeah. For the Broken Toys, I think that was a sneak peek promo that like half of the shops didn't even get.
That's right, yeah. God, if you think I have trouble with like trying to keep a train of thought before, just I'm sorry.
I might have to record a separate video for this later because I'm losing my train of thought.
Oh my god, we're all useless today. Sorry.
I'm okay, useless well, every day.
I was thinking about this a lot the last couple of days, and then I feel like I stopped thinking about it halfway through the week because I had to go into the office yesterday and today. And so now, like, I have not thought about it enough to speak coherently anymore.
Right. At least in the offseason. Okay, let's talk a little bit then about the tying of support to an anime. And the easy way to compare is once again to Yu-Gi-Oh, where for almost all of its history, Yu-Gi-Oh had an anime going on, so you had anime archetypes coming out. Now, that doesn't mean that that was the only stuff coming out in whatever set, but it was still roughly the pattern in which sets were being released. And then, once Yu-Gi-Oh 7's ended, they never really announced another one, so far as I can tell. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But since then, they've just kind of kept on doing it. And I know recently they've, you know, it's become a tier zero format, but that's not necessarily on purpose. It's just Fire Kings are broken. But
Snake Eye is broken.
Snake Eye plus Fire King plus whatever other fire archetype that you tie it to.
Yeah, the Snake Eye is the main engine being used.
Right. Again. Radiating pain. Anyway,
it's very cool that it's just like you play Snake Eye or whatever, and then you and your opponent trade hand traps for a little bit and see what happens.
Oh, you activated Ash Blossom. I'm going to make Hita the Fire Charmer and revive your Ash Blossom to make Promethean Princess.
Yes, yep. And then you'll die. So it stands to reason that Vanguard could just kind of follow that after a while. Like, if they ever get tired of making an anime, which, you know, here neither here nor there in regards to, like, cost and what it does for advertising, et cetera, but I don't think that you need to necessarily tie your sets coming out to the anime that's being released at the same time. You can do it perfectly well. I mean, again, Tier Zero format notwithstanding, but just in general for the...
I mean, I feel like Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a bad example, because looking back at the history of its meta, like, anime decks have not featured very prominently in a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh!'s history.
Yeah.
Like, some of them do. Like, not, definitely during Link format, but Link format is also some of the worst Yu-Gi-Oh! To ever exist.
It's very not common for that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, what, Salamandrate? And
like I said, Link format.
Yeah,
I think
Trickstar Sal. Like, those weren't the decks that people cared about ever virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like back in Go, it's like Chaos Control, like that. Like, I don't think the Chaos monsters showed up in the anime eventually, but like they weren't that prominent.
And you look at GX era, and it's like, what, people aren't playing Flame Wingman,
Neospatians, yeah.
Like, the heroes people were playing were not that.
The ones from the anime.
It was, like, absolute zero. And that was, like, hero beat, and that was at the end of... That was into Synchro era, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, like, people played Stardust Dragon and some of, like, the Synchron monsters, but, like...
at least in the case of Yu-Gi-Oh, where how decks are designed, you're able to get away with that, versus in Vanguard, you're on paper at least tied to the nation and then archetype system or clan system if you're in premium.
Well, no, the thing about Vanguard is you're tied to your Vanguard, right? Like, there's a guy that your deck centers around.
True.
And so it's a lot harder to design like a generic engine in the way that you can for Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. Because, like, no matter what you try to do in Vanguard, you are still ultimately tied to a guy that does a very specific thing.
Mm-hmm. And the field continues on as it does.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up that thread.
God, my thread was so much more coherent.
Here, why don't I just read it and then we can riff on this. While I don't think Lyrical will be leaving main sets, at least for anime boosters, I am disappointed we couldn't use the space that could have been opened up for other things. There are tons of archetypes lost in the lurch that probably would have appreciated a new set.
Yes. Admitted.
Yes.
So, right. That is one of the things, right? Like, how many archetypes just, like, have been forgotten about or don't feature enough? The joke one was Borrow Magnus, but they literally just revealed a Borrow Magnus card.
A Borrow Magnus card after how many years?
I mean, he gets like a common every couple of sets, but that's the problem, right? Like, a deck like Borrow probably needs like an actual like main set that introduces like 3, 4, or 5 new cards in the way that like prominent decks in the anime usually do.
Yeah, at least he found a niche in premium, like, and he does it very well, but yeah.
Like, you know, they're making new cards for Almagest Star, but it's like a card that's technically that's like designed for Almagest Star, but they're also making it generic. So it's like, yeah, cool. You know, you're not allowed to actually have your own support, right? Like, they do the same thing where like the most recent support for what's his name, Gondiva, also just kind of had Eugene tacked onto it. They did it, yeah, to what's his name, Granfia, where like randomly got tied to Leonorn.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time Flagberg got support? I'm sure there were Flagberg cards made in the last couple of sets. I just don't remember them because nobody plays Flagberg right now.
Because they're so inconsequential. It seems that the bosses that have gotten left behind have found their niches outside of standard format.
No one even plays Flagberg in premium that much anymore.
Nah, you still see people sticking it with Mega Colony.
Do they?
Yeah. I saw it a little bit when we were at BCS, and I saw it, or I see it at my locals fairly often. Small sample size, notwithstanding. Anyway.
And I feel like actual grid, like Mega Colony decks right now are just playing like Dark Face.
Mm. The history stride thing, it depends on how like balls to the wall the player wants to go. I'm just saying, Flagberg isn't completely left in the lurch. It just is for standard. I don't know how long it's been since it's gotten specifically, here's your Flagberg stuff. So admittedly, Lyrical has this problem as well, partially because Bushiroad has been treating them as 5 nations in one, like you said.
Yeah, I already said that.
Yep.
So, yeah, like I said, Lyrical is like 5 nations in one. They have twice as many ride lines as basically any other nation at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because every time there's a new set, they insist on cramming like 5 of them into a set as if it were a main nation booster, right? Because in the main nations, you'd have like 1 for each nation if they're like giving every nation a new ride line.
Yeah.
Which they broadly kind of do. And so, you know, I think Lyrical has a problem of like 100 of your archetypes get lost in the lurch because no deck ever gets made like fully formed. A lot of them are kind of half baked while they try to figure out like the problems of the deck and how to and printing like a second wave of support that like closes some of the gaps.
So you're gonna have
like one or two decks that are okay on release that like are playable and maybe like meta relevant, but you're also gonna have a bunch that are like kind of half baked that probably could use a second wave of support. And cool, you can get that like half a year later, and then they're gonna cram in like more, because that's what happened, right? In the first lyrical set, like Laurel and Errol and like Clarissa were kind of okay. And then next set, they had to cram in two new ride lines plus support for all the old ones.
Yeah.
And then like Kyrie was kind of good with the grade four for a little bit, and then it fell off again. And then the next set, they introduced five new ride lines, but you know, they had to cram in support for the two from the previous set. They barely supported anything from set one. You know, then Festival Collection, they finally went back to set one, gave everything the support that it didn't have in set three, while also, like, cramming in, like, singular cards for the set three cards that are shared between two archetypes at the same time. And then, you know,
Lyrical... It seems that the more ride lines you have, the more, like, the less space you have, therefore, the cards have to do more of the work, getting to the point where eventually... you'll probably have like those youth perk cards from set 13 that were that like came off as custom.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like they're barely even doing that because like Lyrical 4, right? Like they have to give, all right, we gave new forms to all the cards from Lyrical 1, so now we have to do that for Lyrical 2. I assume like the next Lyrical set is going to be all of the dress up units for all the Lyrical 3 cards, so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, this is making me want to vomit.
You know, and then Lyrical 4 introduced five new ride lines again, because they had the two encounters plus, like, the three original ones.
Yeah. So, skipping all of that, because you pretty much just summed it up, it sucks because I think the off-season, when the anime isn't airing, would be a good time for Bushiroad to explore other ideas. I like the direction Festival Collection has taken as a space for generics and promo reprints.
Okay, so price-wise, Festival Collection isn't great because every card ends up being $20 just due to the size of the set and, like, scarcity. But I think the idea of Festival Collection is pretty good. Like, we're coming up on the Triple Drive booster where they're reprinting a bunch of cards up until about set 8, I think.
Yeah.
I think, like, everything before set 8 got reprinted, if I'm remembering correctly. It was this very thing where, oh no, they reprinted cards in set 8 too. So yeah, everything up to about set 8 got reprinted, and then everything set 9 and beyond, they didn't bother. Right. But like, I get that. Those were kind of newer, but you know, the Triple Drive set is good for anyone trying to like catch up or get back into the game to like find all these old cards that aren't being printed anymore.
Yeah, and then, or at the very least, it's just more of them out there on TCG Player, on eBay, on whatever. Like,
and you have like some chase cards with like the new ride lines and the Regalis piece, which I'm not looking forward to having to buy.
The Regalis piece.
The card is a card that says you win against Shiranui specifically.
What was the name of that one again? Oh yeah, I remember doing the episode on this. Yeah, just 5k and all of your readers can't be chosen. Yeah, that is a massive middle finger to Shiranui and all them.
Like, if you play your cards right, it's basically an auto win because they just like don't do anything for a turn.
And then you can like, use that to kill them.
Yeah, so like Triple Drive Booster is just reprinting all the old cards, and then generally for Festival Collections, I think they use the time to reprint like promos and stuff. Let me double check the last one. So we have, so the last Festival Collection is weird because they shoved a bunch of Lyrical cards into it, but you know, we had the new OTs, we had the new like Regalis pieces, and then we had those like grade threes that were like you can bind the over trigger or remove the over trigger from drop and it gets like an ability.
Right.
The, and then they had like a generic. Well, they had a thing where, like, if your opponent checked a trigger that turn, they get 10k power and shield.
Oh, those grade threes, right?
Yeah. And then they would have some, like, generic nation ability and then something when you remove the OT.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the Strike Hand one's the worst.
And then, you know, a bunch of things of like, okay, reprinting all of the triggers. Were they the effect triggers? No, I think they just reprinted norm.
I think it was
they just reprinted normal triggers in that one.
Which is stupid, but oh well. Later in the thread, you brought up, as far as we currently know, the plan for spring, early summer is festival.
Oh, no, they did reprint the effect triggers, too. They just printed normal triggers in addition to that.
Gotcha. DZ3 and Lyrical, we already have premium product with the new premium decks, but I don't think that's good enough. Ideally, the gap where a Lyrical set would have happened could have gone to premium.
Yeah, because this is also around the time they would have printed premium support anyway, but like...
Right.
Yeah, because we have this gap in time, I think, like, the best thing to do would to have a break from standard just to, like, let the format develop more. Mm-hmm. This is going to come up later in the set, or in the tweet thread, but a part of the problem with, like, the anime season is that the meta has very little time to breathe because they will frequently release two sets back-to-back.
Yes. So...
And that means, like, the existing decks get updated very quickly, and then, like, a bunch of new decks are being tossed into the meta without you really having time to breathe.
Yeah.
Or save up money for new cards.
Exactly. I took the advice from, there was, like, an MBT video a while back, and of course, he's a UDTuber, so take with a grain of salt, but he said that it might be better as a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player, and in this case a Vanguard player, to instead of wanting to hop on every single deck that rears its head with every new release, maybe it might be better, both in the long run for your sanity, for your wallet, and maybe even for your standings, to just get really good at the deck you have and knowing its matchups against the other decks in the meta, than just hopping on every new trend.
Like, I think part of the problem with that is, like I said, because products are coming out so frequently, like, the meta turns over really quickly in Vanguard. Like, they release sets every month.
Yeah.
And they seem to... And aside from, like, rare instances where they move to other formats or make some sort of alternate product, like, frequently there will be something new and meta-changing, like, every format that pushes a lot of the old decks out very quickly. And then, but even if you did try to stick with one deck, like, let's say you're playing an anime deck that's being featured heavily, and so they get support in one set, and then they get more support the next set, like, you still have to keep going and going. Mm-hmm. So, I think, like, not printing new products is also just an option that they could take with the gap in Lyrical. Just, like, give the format a couple extra weeks to breathe. Mm-hmm. So that people have more time to play in a particular format, and then also let English catch up because we're like 3 months behind.
Yeah. Also, just that's not even like a Vanguard thing by itself. That's a capitalism thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe like nerds, take 6 months off. I just figured out version 5.4. Why are we on 6.9? Like, relax.
Yeah, I do think. Like, I do think compared to other card games, this is a bit of a Vanguard problem, though, because Vanguard releases sets every month.
Yes. I agree with the sentiment that, like, it might be good to just take a second, man, you know? Yeah.
But yeah, and like I said, like, I think, like, the last couple waves of premium support have been, like, lazy in their design philosophy. I won't speak to how they specifically affect the meta of the game, but like from a philosophy standpoint, they have not printed any actual new cards, right? Like, they've just been eroding old cards for the last like year and a half now,
more or less. Yeah.
And you know, like standard increasingly becomes separated from like the legacy formats, so the addition of energy as a mechanic now means that there is a certain subset of cards in standard that just cannot be played in premium.
Yep.
Like, they just don't work.
Yep. And it's not even you can do it in the super obscure. No, just not happening.
Suck yeah. It. So.
That's like, still so weird to me.
Mm-hmm. So unless they happen to print a card that is specifically designed for a stride deck, like one of the standard stride decks, like there's not a lot that's happening. Like maybe if they print more grade fours and they design grade four support, you could use it. But yeah, in general, seems like the cards that have had the most crossover into premium are generics like the Regalis pieces. Like things specifically designed for like the Stride decks, if they even get played. Yeah. Right. Like I'm looking at the stuff that topped during BCS in California. And like it's the same decks. Like they haven't changed that much. Well, actually, let's see if Nubatama used any of the new Nubatama cards.
Yeah, I think like the only thing I can really think of that made a splash outside of its outside of its original deck was like plant token stuff is very splashable in a lot of decks. Both because it's, you know, they're pretty easy to generate, but also it's very easy, like Narukami blunting, where like you put them in the front and they try and stun verse you. Okay, great. They all disappear. They try and go to exterminate dragon. Okay, that's 20k less on your front row. So that's at least found a home, but I'm not sure about the rest. Like all the set order stuff hasn't, you know, made its way to
Brand Grand Blue is playing like a copy of Maple. Cool.
Yeah, there you go. It's like what, like when something like that happens, it's a rarity. It's the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, like Bushiroad has just kind of refused to print like actual new cards recently. They've just kind of retrained cards, and you know, the premium decks are fine as products. They're reprinting Harmonix Messiah. I think that alone pays for those fucking decks, even at $70. But aside from some choice reprints, like what's going on? Like they might maybe have a bit of a splash in the meta, but like things aren't going to shift too significantly, which, you know, depending on your opinion, may or may not be a good thing. But like, it's just kind of tough when there are so many decks that like could use support and don't.
Yeah.
And even when they do try and go and specifically make like retrains of G-era cards, for example, with the history collection, like a lot of those archetypes were outdated and unplayed already. Mm-hmm. Like the most that has happened is those specific cards get used as an engine to like reap the benefit of the extra like force gifts or extra gifts in general, not just force, but like you play like one or two copies, and then if you have it, you have it for the early stride, and if you don't, whatever.
Yeah, or like you search it specifically to do that one particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like the three it's only three plants.
Yeah, like only three plants.
Like sucks if you're.
There's 24 clans.
Sorry, 24. Yeah, not doing great over here.
But yeah, you know, there's three decks out of 24. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to do something like this, it probably needed to just be like a clan collection where you've reprinted all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the structure deck format is fine because it gave a bunch of choice reprints that we desperately needed. But like, that's also not something that's feasible for every clan in the game. Like, they're not going to make structure decks for 24 clans.
Yeah. The day that they make a Murakumo structure deck is the day I pull my heart out through my chest.
But also, like, what the heck was Murakumo doing during like Limit Break era? They're gonna make a Hiyaki reverse encounter, or they're gonna make a fucking Hiyaki reverse crest.
Kali Mach. Was there anything else to this wonderful, painful, and tired conversation?
I mean, I feel like I wanted to discuss Solution, but my head is blanking right now. It's hard to because like we're already this deep in, so I don't know how they fix the problem.
Mm. I mean, your like collection idea is definitely one, but you also run the risk of either them trying to do the thing where they're like, okay, everybody gets strides, and it's like not everybody needs that. Some clans need G guards, some clans need rear guards, whatever the thing is.
Yeah, no, like I think a premium set would have to look very different from what we've been getting, but
yeah,
even in standard, right? Like we already, I think it's good that they are making support for these side material decks, and I wouldn't mind seeing that continue. It's just that like the current model of it means that all of those side materials are left behind. Look at the encounter cards after like the original ones, right? Dragonic Overlord has kind of managed to stay relevant just because Dote is a good card after they gave Band-Aid promos to fix all the problems.
Right.
And you can just like kind of steal a win because haha, restanding Vanguard.
Yeah. I have here in a box sitting over here that's continuing to suck. It got one promo that's like, okay, I guess, but...
Yeah, and like one card instead of 11, right?
Yeah.
It's same like, thing with Maelstrom. They got one promo that wasn't very good, one card instead of 11 that wasn't very good. You know, Minerva managed to stay kind of relevant because haha, restanding Vanguard.
Yeah.
And also, it could like call more rear guards and like keep attacking. But
right.
Yeah, like they made the encounter cards. They gave them like a promo and a couple of cards in set 11. And then set 11 introduced more encounter cards. So we got like Ezel and Vermillion. Mm-hmm. And same thing. They got like a promo. And then we'll see if they get more support in DZ3. But
I don't remember. Okay, Ezel was kind of okay. I don't remember Vermillion doing shit. I remember Ezel
fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Nobody plays that garbage. The deck is terrible.
Yeah, I'm doing my part. I didn't do fucking shit. I'm Vermillion. We're all trying to find the guy who did this. I need to go watch some I Think You Should Leave after this. That'll make me feel better. Sorry. But yeah, maybe like either a collection, or if they want to run with the structure deck thing, I think that would be kind of cool. Do three clans at a time, and then you keep on like that, but you'd have to be pretty frequent with it, like, what, every 6 months?
I mean, yeah, like, they would just take up the spot Lyrical used to have, right?
Yeah.
Like, ideally, I would probably... I don't know. Like, there's a world they, like, didn't print any of the, like, side support. Because let's be real, like the Cray-Cross stuff would have just been an extra booster in old Vanguard that was like half-sized.
Right.
But they just kind of insist on everything being 100 cards these days.
Mm-hmm.
Set 3 is 120 without Lyrical in it. Like the... So DZ1 was 140 because it was the start of a new era. DZ2 was 120. 3 is also 120, but they don't have Lyrical anymore. So, like, how much crap are they just shoving into the set that it has 20 extra cards with 5 nations?
Kind of reminds me of Gen 5 of Pokemon, where it was over 150. And I was, you probably could have saved those, I think. Keep a few on the reserve, you know? But, yeah, what do
I gotta just shove them out.
Gotta shove them out. Yeah, we gotta get a construction worker and an ice cream cone and a pile of trash.
Oh, but, yeah, before I forget, I think the problem with the side material stuff is like it's not accessible in English, right?
Right.
Like, you can't officially read Youthquake in English, so if you're only paying attention to like the official support that Bushiroad gives, like, you're not gonna know anything about Youthquake. They've released a few chapters of Cray-Cross, but it's not up to date, and they don't promote the lore tab on their website well enough for anyone to find it. Like, you have to go through a fan translator to find it. So, like, it's hard to get invested in Vanguard's lore because they, like, don't give it to us. Like, update your fucking website, Bushiroad.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and then, like, I promised that I would never do lore on this podcast. So far, we've kept that promise up.
Yeah, but like, people like that stuff, right? Look at how popular Branded is in Yu-Gi-Oh. Vsauce, maybe not as much, but like, people like the lore in Yu-Gi-Oh. Like, people got invested in like the World Legacy stuff. People like, you know, Fallen of Albaz and like the Branded deck. So I think it's fine that they have lore for Vanguard and that they are making that lore into like cards you can play. That's how you get people invested in your game, but like,
sure,
they don't make the lore available.
but just don't do that to us. Patreon.com/NexusAtNight. Anyway, yeah, you're right. They don't make the lore available in this. My arm hurts a lot. I feel like the is it Emblem Master? The one where he's like, simmer down my accursed right hand. That. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what do you guys think about the lyrical problem? There's a comment section down below. You should say stuff. Or if you want to reach out to us directly, @NexusAtNight on Twitter and Instagram and all those places. Want to support the show? Patreon.com/NexusAtNight. You get bonus content. You can be thanked at the end of the show like these people. Darren, Cole, Josh, Jeremy, GR, and Ali, who are super cool folks. Where can they find the rest of us?
On Twitter, @Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 Z's.
Find me at Plasma Eclipse.
Find me at Atlas Novak and all those places. My other podcast, Generation Dan, which is a comedy show about generational differences. And recently, I started a history podcast with one of the friends of Generation Dan. It's called Last Minute History. Go check that out. That's only on YouTube so far, but I'll be putting it on the Generation Dan feed in the future. So, coolio. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Ripier.
And have a good night, everybody.